Hello, welcome once again to Leto's Law. I'm Steve Leto. I got to tell you a story. When I went to law school in Los Angeles, I was there from 1989 to 1991, and I did not grow up in Los Angeles, so there's a lot of stuff out there I was unaware of. So I spent 2 years sitting next to a guy named Dave Reinhard, who was in my class, who now is a very successful litigator in Los Angeles. But when I went to California, he knew there's a lot of stuff out there that I just hadn't seen yet, and he thought, hey, I'll take Steve Reinhard, show him some stuff. So one day we're sitting in school and he goes, you know something? He goes, man, I got an idea of something we got to do for lunch today. And I go, what's it? And he goes, just trust me on this one. So lunchtime, we go out and we get in his car and we drive to a little town called Eagle Rock, California. And Eagle Rock is a village, community, whatever you want to call it, just on the northeast side of Los Angeles, about 15, 20 minutes from where the school was, as I recall, because we had enough time to get there, eat lunch, and come back and make it back in time for the afternoon classes. And we go to a restaurant there called Julio's Bucket. Julio's Bucket. Now, if you're in California, you're in Los Angeles, spent any time there, you would have heard the name Julio's Bucket, but outside the area, you haven't. And it's kind of strange. I'm going to tell you about an experience I had at a restaurant because the restaurant's not there anymore. And talking about food is like dancing about architecture. So it's still a fascinating story, though, because Julio's Bucket was a restaurant about the size of the room I'm sitting in right now. It was tiny. So we walk in and there's a little L-shaped bar that's got, I think, like four chairs or four stools on one side and like three stools on this side. And we walk in and I don't know anything about the place. And Dave just kind of goes like, play along. So we walk in, and there's two open stools and we sit down and Julio looks at us and he goes, what do you guys want? And Dave goes, food. And he looks at me and Julio looks at me and goes, what do you want? And I go, food? He goes, oh, okay. And Julio walks over to the grill and he starts scraping the grill. And Dave turns to me and goes, ask him for a menu. So I go, hey, can I have a menu? The guy looks at me and he goes, what's wrong with you? And he takes a menu and he throws it at me. I'm like looking at the menu and Dave's just cracking up. And I go, is the food good? And Dave goes, no, that's the whole point. It is. And I'm looking around, all of a sudden I realize one whole wall of the restaurant, and by the way, one whole wall is only about 15 feet wide and, you know, 8 feet tall, is covered with newspaper articles. And the headlines are a combination of two different concepts. One is how this is the greatest food you can buy in this area, bar none. It's fantastic food. The other theme is the guy who owns the restaurant is the rudest person on earth. But it's worth it because the food is so good. So while I'm looking at the menu, Julio just starts making some food. And I look at Dave and I go, is he going to take our orders? And Dave goes, well, you saw what happened when you asked for a menu. What do you think he's going to ask if you say you want to order food? I'm like, what? And next thing I know, Julio's got two plates out. He puts two burgers on them, puts fries on them, and he just puts them in front of him and goes, there. And he walks away. And I go, well, okay. So I'm looking at it and it looks good. And I take a bite out of it. It's fantastic. It may have been the best burger I've ever had. Keep in mind that I said this after I've eaten at In-N-Out Burger, which as a chain is the best burger money can buy. And there aren't In-N-Out Burgers in Michigan, sadly. And I'm eating this hamburger. I'm like, oh, dude, this is fantastic. This is great. But the funny thing is, as the lunch time built up, other people came in. And you'd see people sit down who were clearly veterans who'd been here before. And they'd sit down and Julio'd actually turn to them. And I have to censor out the bad words. But he'd turn to somebody and go, what the heck do you want? And they'd look at him and they'd go, food. And if somebody goes, well, can I see a menu? He'd take the menu and throw it at him, but he would never take an order. He would literally just look at you and decide what he wanted to give you food-wise. And you'd take it and it'd be good. but he would also just insult people who he thought were speaking too much. And I actually went back and read some reviews because I was trying to remember some of the other aspects of this. And a lot of people have likened him to the soup Nazi from Seinfeld. But the thing is, the soup Nazi from Seinfeld was based on a guy, apparently, in New York City who sold soup. And of course, many people are familiar with the goofy skit about the cheeseburger guys in Chicago that was done on Saturday Night Live, also based on a real person. But Julio, the guy who ran Julio's Bucket, was just an eccentric guy who made such good food that people would come from miles around to get the food and would put up with. And once you understood that it was just part of what was going on there, it wasn't harmful. But the thing is that if somebody walked in and asked a stupid question, he'd just yell at them or swear at them. Or, you know, what the heck do you want? You know? And the funny thing is that as we were finishing our burgers, he walked over and slid two more plates over to us. And I think it was bacon-wrapped shrimp. And the reason I think that is that when I was reading the reviews of the restaurant, somebody mentioned that. I'm like, oh my God, I forgot about that. And so he came by and he just slides his plates of bacon-wrapped shrimp. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I remember eating it going, this is really good too. But it was just so funny because the guy didn't take our orders. He just prepared the food he thought we should get. And when we got it, it was good, and we ate it. But then, like I said, then people are standing around the back because there's only 7 or 8 stools at the counters. And people are standing in line, people standing around outside waiting to get in. Everyone wanted to get in. And the guy could have, for instance, brought in more stools. He could have set up tables outside. He didn't care. He didn't. Apparently, this was working for him. So I did some research, and sadly, Julio's Bucket of Eagle Rock, California, is no longer there. Or if it is, it was closed and reopened or something. Because I know that it appears that about 2013, that Julio himself sold the business to somebody else prior to 2013. And then in 2013, that person actually lost the lease or something. And it was a unique little tiny building. And at one point in time, the new owner actually did set up places outside where you could eat. He hired a staff that was polite. But Julio's Bucket had been there since 1935, 78 years. And a big chunk of that was when the man behind the counter was the one who would yell at you, swear at you, be insulted if you asked for a menu. And apparently, if you made the mistake of asking him for food, if you said, I want a hamburger, he would sometimes give you something else. Cheeseburger. I want a cheeseburger. He'd give you a hamburger. But again, the food was so good, and that was part of the deal. You would go in there, you'd possibly get verbal abuse, but the food you'd get would be so good, it would blow your mind. And I remember walking out of there just laughing. I you know, the guy had yelled at us. He'd yelled at people around us. We could hear him yelling as we walked out of the building. And I remember going back to school. Telling, hey, have you been to Julio's Bucket? Have you been to Julio's Bucket? And they're like, dude, calm down. It's something everybody in LA has been to once or twice. Not everyone likes it as much as you do, but apparently, you know, it's something that resonated with you. So a couple years later, I went back to California to visit. And my brother at the time lived in California also. And so he and I were driving around Los Angeles. I forgot where we were going. And I saw the exit for Eagle Rock. I go, break. It's lunchtime. Let's go to Eagle Rock. And he goes, why? What's in Eagle Rock? I go, just trust me. So we pull on to, I think it's Colorado, and I could be wrong on that, but we found it. It's that easy, and it's a landmark. You can't miss it, even though it's small. I go, Rick, Julio's Bucket. And he goes, Julio's Bucket, is it Mexican food? And I go, no. I go, I think Julio's a Basque. And it turns out that's what he is. And I've looked it up someplace, and so he's from a Basque background. I don't know what that means, except that I said, no, Rick, it's not Mexican food. It's, I go, burgers and fries kind of food. And he goes, oh, okay, cool. You know? So we walk in, we both sit down. And now here's the funny thing. I had this haircut at the time, and he had a very, very similar haircut, but he had a mustache. And, so we sat down at the bar and we got there at a good time. And so we got to sit down right at the table or the bar. And, Julio walks over and, he goes, what do you guys want? And I go, food. And he goes, okay, Turns around, starts walking away, and I hear Rick go, ask him for a menu. Rick is an older brother of mine. All my brothers are older, but he's being older is wiser and knew I was setting him up. And goes, no, you know, I'll just play along and see what happens here. So Julio comes back, slides us burgers and fries, and there's other people sitting down, and he's insulting people, and Rick's now got the joke, you know, and so Julio looks at me and he goes, what do you do? And it was so weird because I had not heard him ask anybody anything personal. And before I could answer, my brother goes, he's an attorney. And Julio looks at me and goes, oh, you're an attorney? And I go, yeah. And he looks at my brother, he goes, what do you do? And before my brother could answer, I go, he's a cop. Now, I don't know why I said that. But he looked like one, okay? My brother looked kind of like a cop. He had the mustache, he had the short haircut. And Julio goes, really? And we're both laughing. And Rick goes, no, I'm not a cop. I'm not a cop. And he looks at me, Julio looks at me and goes, but are you an attorney? And I go, no, I actually am an attorney. I go, but he's not a cop. I was just joking. I'm sorry, I'm just joking. And Julio reaches underneath the counter and he pulls out two slices of cake. And he goes, today's my birthday. And we go, really? Happy birthday. I mean, who knows, you know? And I go to, like, I'm going to stick a fork into the piece of cake. And he goes, no, stop. And I'm like, okay. And he pulls out a bottle, I think it was rum, but it was alcoholic. He pulls this bottle out from underneath the counter and just pours it on the cake. And he gave my brother a piece of cake and me a piece of cake. And he's pouring this alcohol on the cake. And he puts it back under and he goes, there you go. Like that. And my brother looks at me and I look at my brother and Julio's now talking to somebody else. And he goes, what do we do now? And I go, eat it. I'm scared of what this guy'll do if I don't eat his food. So I ate the cake that was soaked in something. But it came out of a bottle that looked like it came from a store. So anyway, so had the food, had the cake, you know, hung out at the place with my brother for a while. But meanwhile, the entire time we're there, there's a line forming around the walls, people waiting for our stools. A line formed out the door, people waiting to get in. And every single time you saw two new people sit down, you'd see one of them go, ask him for a menu. Just to see what would happen. But what was funny is, and I read a bunch of other reviews about Julio, and I can only reflect on the two times I was there. And the, like I said, the whole point of it was that he was gruff. He'd been there for a million years. He made the best food for lunch in that town. And the joke was that he was like that. And you could watch him. And I think if you watched him long enough, you realized that deep down he was joking. And most of the people who went in the restaurant got the joke. And, you know, if you simply played along with them, you got cake. Now, the funniest thing I can tell you is that both times when I was there with my friend Dave or my brother, at the end of the meal, he would just toss you a piece of paper that had a number written on it. That was your bill. It wasn't itemized. Hamburger, fries, cake, whatever, shrimp rack, whatever it was, bacon wrap, shrimp. No, it was, and you just walked up and you paid it, you know. But again, it was all part of the experience. But sadly, Julio's bucket closed. These things don't last forever. And I know that a lot of different parts of the country have got their own unique dining experiences. But this was such a cool one. And I wish there's more about it on the internet, but I can only find so much. I did find somebody who did a review of the hamburgers after Julio's Bucket was named to have the best hamburgers in the area by the LA Times. The Los Angeles Times named it the best burger. And in that article, he referred to it as an 8-ounce burger. It was big, but it was good. So that was my story about Julio's Bucket in Eagle Rock, California. If you were ever there, please post a comment below or send me an email. I'd love to hear about your experiences there. And if you've got some wacky diner like that in your area, again, comment below. Otherwise, talk to you later. Bye-bye.